Blog Talk Radio.
HR Happy Hour is back, and this episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire. So much HR technology treats your workforce as personally as X's and O's on a chalkboard. Any good coach knows there's way more to it than that. Get Acquire's Insight Analytics solution and start seeing your people as the individual superstars they are. Check out the live Twitter stream at our hashtag HR Happy Hour for a link to a video demo. Hey, I like that, Sean. I did it, the live read.
Yay!
I was pretty good. The great Mark Spelzer and I have been missing each other. He's been traveling a lot, and I've been really busy. So I said, Mark, I'll do it live. I'll Bill O'Reilly style. I'll do it live.
Nice.
That was fantastic. Hey, so welcome to the HR Happy Hour. I'm Steve Bowes. With me, of course, Shauna Morkey, the HR Minion. How are you tonight, Shauna?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to a fun weekend.
That's me too. It's going to be a great show. We have a great panel assembled and guests still rolling in as we speak, and we'll get to those guys in a second. I say guys because, quite frankly, they are all guys tonight.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
This is the HR Happy Hour.
Seriously.
If you're listening sometime on the archive, this show is being recorded live on Thursday, April 7th, 2011. You can follow us by calling in tonight as well, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board the show tonight. If you want to hang out on Twitter and participate in sort of the back channel hijinks and antics, subject to the disciplinary timeouts that Shauna will administer, our hashtag is HR Happy Hour. So, boy, it's great, Shauna. It's great to be back on the show. This is episode 94. We're just on that inexorable march towards episode 100. We still haven't really planned what special and fun we're going to do for episode 100. We'll have to sort that out. So a couple quick announcements. First of all, if you're sort of involved at all in the HR technology space, you had to have seen the news that our great friends and sponsors at Acquire had big news this week. They were purchased by PeopleClick Authoria, a huge, big, influential HR technology company. So we just want to say on the show just congratulations and so happy for our friends at Acquire, Lois and Ross, and really the whole team has been so nice to us over the years and so supportive, not just us, but, lots of folks out here in the community. So congrats. I just wonder, though, if this firm, the PeopleClick and Authoria merge, now they've got Acquire. Are they going to do the whole PeopleClick Authoria Acquire name eventually, right?
That
name is so long, it wouldn't even fit, probably in a tweet. But, when I heard the news, and I didn't know anything about it, of course, and when I heard the news, I started thinking, Sean, across that conference room table, that tense boardroom negotiation with the folks there.
It's all good.
And the Acquire folks there.
It's not a big deal.
Shut up.
Yeah. I'm telling a great story here. Hang on, guest. And
they knew they were up.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll get you in a second. So I'm thinking about the conference room table, right? The PeopleClick folks over there on one side, the Acquire folks on the other side, and then the PeopleClick folks demanding, the HR Happy Hour sponsorship has to be on the table, right? They had to have asked for it, don't you think?
Clearly.
It had to have come up.
We're one of the best things with Acquire. Come on, of course.
Had to have raised the value of the bid somewhat. So anyway, all kidding aside, huge props and thanks to the folks at Acquire. We're really proud of you guys and really happy for you as well. So next up, Shauna, what did you pot up line 5? Because I think that's our last guest who is trying to come on. I think that was Chris, and I just want to announce that one of the guests tonight, Chris Dunn and myself, will be doing a webcast with our friends at Sonar 6 next week on April 14th, next Thursday. and it's called the Idiot Proof Guide for Coaches and Managers, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We had sort of the preview today, Shauna, for the dry run for the webcast with the Sonar 6 guys and Chris and myself and the guys who run the sort of technology, and I think we sort of annoyed the crap out of the guy who's in charge of the webcast technology.
Oh,
with
really?
All our sort of, yeah, with our sort of antics and hijinks. So that webcast is going to be really, really fun. We'll make sure we tweet out the link to that events as well. So lastly, HR Evolution, I just want to mention that real quick. Next week we're going to do an HR Evolution preview show. And I've gotten some questions, and other folks on the team have as well, about tickets. The tickets are sold out. If you still want to try to get involved on HR Evolution, you can contact me or Trish McFarlane or Ben Eubanks, and there might be some last-minute tickets that come available if we get any cancellations. So if you still were trying to get into the HR Evolution and you didn't get a ticket in time, let us know, and we might be able to squeeze in a couple more folks. Wow, so I think that was it for announcements. I just wanted to let everybody know I'm on the remote location, so if the quality of the phone is not so great, I'm at the Homewood Suites in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Which is
living the rock star lifestyle, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, it's a prestige place, the Homewood Suites. I'm starting to think like these all suite hotels, right? That's their big angle. It's all suites. I'm thinking they shouldn't even tell you it's all suites. They should just tell you it's like a motel. And when everybody checks in, they should say, you know, well, Mr. Sackett, we're upgrading you to a suite, you know, just like on the spot, right? And you'd be all so excited, right? Oh, I got a suite. Wow, this is the best place ever, right? So we're at the Homewood Suites in Tulsa, and that's it. So, Shauna, let's get on with it, right? What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. We're talking about sports tonight. The eight-man rotation's in the house, and we'll talk about what the eight-man rotation is as we get on to the show. Let's just welcome our guest, our first guest, longtime friend of the show, great writer, great HR professional, the great Tim Sackett is with us tonight. Tim, how are you?
Excellent. And by the way, I never would stay in a non-suite hotel, so that's just, you know.
Right. You roll big time, right, Tim?
They never say, Mr. Sackett, we're happy to have you upgraded, because I'm already upgraded. So.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Tim, welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Next up,
fresh from his travels around the country, attending the biggest sporting events in the nation, probably next stop the world. I'm sure we'll see him at the Champions League final later this spring. The great Matt, a.k.a. Bruno Stalek. Matt, how are you tonight?
Doing well. Unfortunately, I have only been downgraded when I've gone and checked into hotels.
They get one look at you,
closet.
And you've got that middle room next to the pillar, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Matt, welcome. Thanks so much for being on the show. Next up, from the mighty 503 from the West Coast, the great Lance Hahn is with us. Lance, how are you tonight?
Just great, Steve. And I'm hoping that Matt can pack me in his suitcase next time and take me wherever he's downgraded.
No kidding. We got to get to the bottom of this. You know, most of us pine our whole lives to go to like one Super Bowl or one Final Four. This guy just does it regularly, right? Every other week he's, you know, hobnobbing with the legends of basketball in upgraded
Kareem.
Suites.
I heard
Are
that.
You kidding me, Stalin?
Kareem?
I did.
Kareem.
He's a tall man.
And last up, I think we got him on line five. I think he just made it in time. The great Chris Dunn, the HR Capitalist, is with us. Chris, how are you tonight?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for
joining us
tonight.
Steve, one quick question. Are you going out to eat later on with the transient construction workers that are there at the Homewood Suites too?
I might. The transient, you know, the good thing about the Homewood Suites, I'll just mention this, is like a lot of the great sort of suite property hotels, is they do this nice happy hour between like 5 and 7 right down in the lobby. Like we roll out a tray of like of reconstituted meatballs and a case of and like a cooler full of Bud Light and cans. It's awesome. I knew I hit the big time last night when I got into town, so it was fantastic. So anyway, that's it, man. Huge pat. Wow. Between announcements and introductions, Shauna, we're 10 minutes into the show. There's been no content at all to speak of. But
we better get going.
No kidding. I feel like, you know, I made the Homewood Suites joke. Okay, cross that off. Sonar 6 webinar, I got that. Okay.
Do you write out your jokes, please? That's funny.
I occasionally write them out. Yes, I do. So I prepare. I prepare quite a bit for the show. So this is the HR Happy Hour, the eight-man rotation. We're talking about sports, HR, management, leadership. We're with a great panel of guests, Tim Sackett, Matt Stolick, Lance Hong, Chris Dunn, Steve and Shauna are here. You're out there as well. Our calling number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to get on board tonight, and we'll keep an eye on the Twitter stream as well. I'm working on Homewood Suites, really dodgy internet, so I'm going to rely on Shauna to check that out as well for us tonight. So, hey, I'll just throw it out to the panel. Maybe I'll start. Tim, I'll start with you. Why sports, man? Why sports in HR and recruiting, leadership? We get some grief as a group about writing about sports so much. So, I mean, besides the fact that, okay, I like sports, but, I mean, what's the connection for you? Like, why is it important?
Well, I think because we like it so much. I mean, to me, sports ends up being a microcosm of what we do in HR. You have the selection, the leadership development, how to get more performance out of people. It encompasses everything that we do in HR. So for me, that's why I like to always kind of tie back, you know, and write as much as we can. For one, is I love sports, but for the other is I can find the connections, you know, between HR and sports all the time.
Lance, how about you? The same thing? I mean, what draws you? I mean, besides, I like sports, too. I like basketball. I mean, is it just a cheap way out for us guys to just write about the things we enjoy?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But, you know, the other part of it is just, I mean, whenever you're a writer and you're putting out, I mean, you know, we're all in this group of people that write a lot of stuff. I mean, you're always trying to connect with your audience in different ways, and certainly sports is just one of those ways you connect with somebody in a pop culture type of way. I mean, a lot of times, a lot of other bloggers will reference, you know, books or movies or TV shows and that sort of thing. And our thing is just sports. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's really the only thing for me is just a way of connecting a subject matter to an interesting topic. HR is an interesting in and of itself, usually.
And so, Chris, man, you take it on all the time, right, in the angle, and you talked about it even today on the site about sort of the real sort of openness and transparency, and I think that's one of the things, you know, I like about sports and sort of writing about sports is the fact that these sort of talent management plays and these sort of workforce plays, they play out in the public forum, and I mean, is that part of the allure for you as well, that you can kind of see what's happening in real time and in public?
Yeah, I think it's one of the only places you can go for a completely transparent look at what's going on. I mean, you look at music, you look at movies, you don't get anywhere near the just kind of just list of things that, like, you know, really are directly applicable to what we do. So I love that. The other reason, Steve, is I love writing about the WNBA. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, it's a passion of mine, and okay, that's what I got.
Matt Stolick, I heard you're going to be attending the WNBA finals. I don't know if that's true or not. I did hear that. So is that
don't they have a link or something? I'm not sure.
That is some. But what about that, Matt? You know, you're a purist of sorts, aren't you? I mean, that's fundamentally sound basketball, right? That. Same thing with college basketball. You were at the Final Four, Matt. You were at the Final Four.
I was.
You know, we're all jealous a couple days ago,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yes. You sort of have been traveling around the country doing these big sporting events. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to lately?
Well, with the Final Four, at least you guys could change the channel. We were stuck in the watching the national championship game where it's no escape. So we saw every claim.
Painful second.
But I'm going to tell you really why we write about sports. It goes back to a field of dreams. We're all trying to connect with our fathers.
Whoa, that's
wow.
Pretty deep, man.
Oh, geez.
Well, you know, Matt, that's true.
There's,
you know,
my psychological drop right
but,
there.
But,
we're all
but
trying
Matt,
to please our dad. We're trying to connect in some way. We're hoping our dads read them if they're still alive. And that way we connect and have that common conversation. If we
right.
HR, that's even a more of a bonus. But really, we're just trying to say hi to Dad.
Deep psyche stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Coming from the professor.
Hey, so let me do a quick reset. We're 15 minutes in. We've hardly talked about anything, but that's okay. It's HR Happy Hour. We're doing the eight-man rotation show, and someone's going to have to explain to the audience what the eight-man rotation is, what the actual – because I get the feeling, Shauna, a lot. Do you know what the term even means, Shauna, the eight-man rotation?
No idea.
Lance, can you explain that to Shauna, what the heck the eight-man rotation even just means as a term?
I'm not going to explain it.
Okay.
This is our fight club.
You're so mean to me, Lance.
That's a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't tell anybody. We'll see if someone figures it out. The one of the things, let me do a quick reset. 646-378-1086. We're on the HR Happy Hour. We're talking about sports with the gang. Chris, Matt, Lance, Tim's here. Tim, I'm going to throw this to you. Every successful coach, right, and sometimes even successful players, right after they sort of win their first championship or achieve some level of notoriety, boom, a book deal, leadership book hits the press, you know, whether it's, you know, Rick Pitino or Lou Holtz, who makes interns cry, right? I mean,
yeah.
Why is that? And do you take any stock or any value out of some of these, you know, the sports leader as a sort of business leader and someone you should read about and follow?
No, I mean, I think any good leader, and when there's definitely a lot of coaches that are great leaders who've shown that, you know, that they're great leaders through their success. And so, you know, what they kind of espouse in these books tends to be good advice, you know, depending on who it is, at what time it is. You know, but, you know, the fact of the matter is they're just, you know, they're grabbing the iron while it's hot and trying to make a buck. You know, you don't really truly see them as these leadership gurus, you know, so to speak. But I think they had success, and so they go, okay, well, here's what I do when I'm successful. And I think all of us who want to be good leaders tend to read and tend to try to follow others who are good leaders to try to learn from them. So if you can pick up anything from them, you know, to me, that's the value in what they give when they start, you know, writing these books after they win their championships.
Chris or Lance, has there been any sort of sports sort of famous leader, famous coach or mentor, something who you've sort of actually picked something up from and sort of followed or sort of maybe actually used in your sort of life or work, anybody like that?
Well, I mean, certainly for me at least, Coach Wooden is probably the biggest one, and just thinking about how teams work and how you get the most out of you know, each individual player that you have, not seeing people as A players, B players, C players, but seeing them as a interlocking puzzle piece of that could really put together some great results. And I think, obviously, Coach Wooden, you know, was a master at putting that sort of thing together.
Chris, you did the coaching thing for a while. Did you ever think you were going to parlay that into a successful, you know, run around the speaking circuit with a series of books like, you know, Winning by Chris Dunn, you know?
Yeah, I never thought that. And if you're looking for a coaching comparison, there's really nowhere to go but down. You know, like Lance throws out John Wooden. Where do you go from there? Do I throw out Calipari? I mean, there's no way to win. I mean, the only way I could do that is maybe say Nell Wooden, which is John's wife. You know, that's the only way I could win. Versus,
you know,
what Lance just did.
But that's interesting, you know, the John Wooden, you know, the most successful basketball coach ever, maybe the most successful sports coach ever, arguably. I mean, but he had a certain way about him, right? Does that way, that sort of, that discipline, that sort of attention to detail and all of that, does that still carry forward? Can that still work today, the way he ran his shop in the 60s?
Well, I mean, I think it can. You don't get as much time these days, right? Yeah, I mean, the time is very short. Like, you know, I did a post on NC State, and, you know, Mark Gottfried, former Alabama coach, just got hired, and there's a big thing there with Debbie Yao and another coach. And, again, there's like five or six issues in my post today that directly applicable to what we do. So you don't get as much time. But I think to go back to your original question, when I look at coaches, kind of like, hey, who do you pick things up from? I'm always amazed by the guys who aren't wooden. I'm amazed by the guys who kind of have floundered around 500 and then kind of figured it out. And I think those are the profiles that I look at to say, okay, what are two or three things that kind of makes, you know, help this guy get over the hump? And I'm really interested in those kind of human stories when people finally get it done rather than winning like 10 championships in 12 years.
Right,
right.
What? I'm sorry?
Go ahead,
Chris, who would that be?
Well, I mean, I give you an example, and it's a bad example, really. But just in terms of, you wouldn't want to be like this guy all the time. But Mike Davis, you know, I live in Birmingham. Mike Davis, former IU coach that replaced Bob Knight, you know, he struggled a little bit at UAB. That was his next job after he lost his Indiana job, and it's a mid-major job, and he struggled a little bit, and he finally got over the hump and made the NCAAs for the first time in like 4 or 5 years since he's been there, and he was promptly rewarded. You guys will love this. He was promptly rewarded with no extension.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, you know, we could talk a little bit about sort of rewards in, for performance in sports. One of the things that is a little unusual, you know, in sports compared to sort of the real business world and the real world of work is sort of how quickly it turns, how quickly you get fired, but also how quickly one or two good seasons turn into 10-year contract extensions.
Right, right. And that's the thing. You know, and the other thing just from a compensation standpoint is one of the reasons that UAB in that situation doesn't extend Mike Davis. I think his contract runs through 2013 is because one of the other aspects to the job, rather than on-the-floor coaching, is promotion of the program,
right,
something a program like UAB desperately needs. And what's happened, since UAB is really a player without money or without a lot of money, they can't simply extend, you know, and keep this guy on a 4 or 5 year leash and then buy him out. They have to make the decision now, which is going to have huge implications, even within where they sit in the talent pool. It's going to have huge implications for recruiting. How'd you like to recruit against that? So you go into a prospect's home, you're recruiting against Mike Davis, and basically you do negative recruiting. Another lesson. You know, from what we do every day versus sports, you do negative recruiting against Mike Davis and you say, "Hey, Johnny, you know, it's interesting. You're thinking about going to UAB. Did you know that they made the NCAAs and the school didn't even believe enough in Davis to extend him by even 1 year?" So, I mean, right there is a lesson, negative recruiting. I mean, and the lessons are kind of endless, and that's why it's just such a natural thing to write about when it comes to talent issues. And I tell you one other thing, just to throw this in, and then I'll give up the floor, is I'm amazed, you know, we take a little heat by writing about sports, but I'm amazed, you know, in a profession that's purported to be 70% women, I'm amazed how many women connect with the post that I write about sports. You know, if you listen to the naysayers, you would think, well, nobody's going to read because you're writing about sports. Actually, you know, I'm shocked how many like NFL fans are women, or how many women are NFL fans or are college football fans. I mean, you know, there's a big sector of that gender that's as passionate about it as guys are. This is what I found in writing about it.
Great, Chris. Thanks for that. Let's take a quick reset pause on the HR Happy Hour show. We're talking sports with the guys, the 8-man rotation crew: Matt Stolik, Lance Hahn, Tim Sackett. We're from vacation. He came off the mountain from snowboarding.
Aww.
Snowboarded down the hill. There's snow still somewhere, wherever Sackett is, and he joined the party tonight. Chris Dunn as well. Steve and Shauna are here. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. The Twitter back channel, HR Happy Hour. We're taking heat on the back channel, too, already. So just like we take heat about.
We're
taking it. It's fine. Have your own show out there, then, if you don't like this show. That's okay. That's
oh,
what it's there for.
Stop. You haven't had a sports show in forever.
I want to throw this one to Matt Stolik. Matt's an analytical guy, right? One of the big, really cool sort of parallels between the world of sports and the world of sort of HR and recruiting and workforce management is that, you know, most sports, at least in the U.S., have the annual draft, right? That huge assessment process and that player selection process to stock your team or stock your talent pool, if you will. And I want to ask Matt the question. A lot of times in sports, especially in football, we hear about this something called the best available player theory, which means the team might need a new quarterback desperately, but if the best talent on the board when it's time for them to pick might be, say, a defensive tackle, logic says go take the defensive tackle and worry about the quarterback spot later. I thought maybe you could comment a little bit about how sports teams tend to approach drafting and talent selection versus how most organizations tend to approach it as well.
They do it very, very poorly if we look at the track record. That the number of misses is much higher than the number of successes.
Why do you think that is?
That's poor HR. We don't have the metrics that are good enough to separate the success from the failures. Even at the highest reaches of the best talent, so to speak. If we are looking at the NFL draft, why did San Francisco pass up Aaron Rodgers and go with Alex Smith? Or why pick Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning? Why was there such a debate? Why weren't those identifiers as clear as they could be? In sports, particularly for pro sports, they have more data for those types of searches than we do in regular HR in trying to look at a candidate. Hours and hours of game film, hours and hours of interview. They poke prod these applicants, so to speak, prior to drafting them. They practically know everything about that player, and they still miss more than 50% of the time.
You know, that's a great point, Matt. But in terms of the sort of best player on the board theory, do you get the sense that we organizations just don't do enough of that? We just say, I need to fit someone into this box that I've defined, and I'm going to just be bound and determined to fill that box rather than have a sort of more open or expansionary kind of view of talent?
I've never liked that approach either. It's always one of those HR adages, it's better to make no hire than a bad hire.
Right. Right. Tim, what do you think? You're out there recruiting all the time. You okay with finding someone with close enough skills if they're just, you think they're talented, they're smart, they can learn? Is that a better move for you?
I think it depends on your organization. I mean, we take a look at Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, they all have huge misses. And part of it is I think they rely too much on that behavioral interviewing kind of knowledge set where they go, well, they had a great college career, they're the second best quarterback on the board, we need a quarterback, let's go ahead and take them. And then they don't realize more, you know, what really do they need out of a quarterback? You know, and then go down the line, and maybe the fifth best quarterback on the board is the best quarterback for them. But, you know, are you really in that spot? Are you going to take the heat for taking the fifth best guy when the second best guy was on the board, a la, you know, the Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan kind of, you know, thing that you run into?
Right.
And then heat up for the next two centuries, you know?
I want to, since you mentioned Bowie and Jordan, I've got to throw this out to Lance, you know.
God.
For those who might not know, just for edification purposes, Lance Hahn is the biggest Portland Trailblazers fan there is. And years ago, the Trailblazers had the opportunity to draft a guy you might have heard of called Michael Jordan, who was a pretty talented player out of North Carolina. They elected in their spot to pick another guy, a talented guy, who had some injury concerns going into the draft, named Sam Bowie. Of course, the very next pick, Chicago picks Michael Jordan, and the rest, you know, how the rest happened. So, you know, and Lance, part of that was why did the Blazers pick Sam Bowie? Because who was playing second guard for the Blazers at the time?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Blazers. I mean, especially their history of drafting big men, and certainly we have got an even more recent example with Greg Oden getting picked over Kevin Durant, where Blazers have picked what is seen as a very conservative strategy, in that they always they try to fill their need, right? They've got a need at center. I mean, they've always got this need at the big man, so they've got a good. I mean, Clyde Drexler was one of the best shooting guards during the time, so they figure they got that covered. You know, let's go for a bigger post player, which they desperately needed.
Right.
Same thing with Greg Oden. They desperately needed that, where they didn't need a talented wing player like Kevin Durant. But what you see is that conservative strategy is actually very unconservative when you look at it, especially in retrospect, is that totally backfired. I mean, you would have had a great, at the worst, a great tradable asset to make a deal for somebody with a certain track record.
Yeah. Well, just right. I mean, again, it's like you got a guy like Clyde Drexler, one of the top. I think he was a top 50 player of all time, right? And it's like, I don't need another guy who's just like him, right? And I guess that happens inside our organizations all the time. Let's do. We've got a couple calls, folks who want to come on board. I don't know, either to yell at us for talking about sports or to talk about sports. So I think we'll find out. So let's go ahead and take the call on line number 6, area code 786. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey guys, good evening. It's John Nicolasian.
Johnny,
hey,
Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Hanging out here in Miami, staying dry. I had a question about competition. Chris had started talking about it earlier when he made some negative recruiting comments. But I'm curious about negative competition in the space and using it as either or weeding it out or using it as a tool. I'd like to hear some discussion about competition and in particular negative competition.
In terms of how you do it for recruiting or what's put it in perspective.
I would say in terms of recruiting, because recruiting, I think recruiters by nature have this really bad competitive streak, and sometimes we're really bad competitors and we're not really good competitors. So I'm always curious about that, and if you've seen it, and good examples.
So
is
recruiting like politics? Should you go negative if you're fighting for a candidate? Is that kind of the idea?
Well, you know, John, here's my take from a recruiting side. I always find it I'm always amazed by the lack of knowledge that candidates have on all the companies, not just my own, but every other company that they might be trying to get into. And so I don't know if I go negative, but sometimes you get to point out obvious things. Clearly, I'm going to start off with pointing the positives of why they need to come to my company. But if they're also going, well, gosh, you know, Tim, I really love that, but, you know, ABC company over here, I'm really loving them too. You know, then maybe I need to point out, hey, you know, they are really good in this, this, and this. But, you know, they also have some opportunity areas in terms of, you know, the other things over here. I mean, you would be remiss as a recruiter not to kind of share that knowledge. My take.
Chris, you go negative, you know you've got a hot candidate who's got a lot of options, right? You're Google and the guy wants to go to Facebook. You go negative on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think John's question is a good one. I think what recruiters find themselves doing, I mean, you mentioned, you know, that sometimes we're bad recruiters, we're negative recruiters. You know, I think I've gone negative before. I think I've learned from it. I think you can do what Tim suggested, which is educate, but rather than slam, my take would be you always have to bring it back to what's best for the candidate. You try and be a coach, try and be an agent that way a little bit. And, of course, you're positioning your own argument. But I think when you really go negative and you really go after, you know, a company or someone, I think at the end of the day that probably costs you more candidates than it helps you pick up. Certainly that's been my kind of experience. You may get one, but then you think you gotta flow with that and you keep doing it. And what you find is that the majority of the world probably doesn't respond well to that, especially if they have some knowledge to begin with.
Cool. Hey, John, I hope we helped answer that question a little bit. Hang out with us as long as you care to. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Love checking in from Miami. And I we'll be talking later when my Knicks take on the Heat in the first round, which is a very possible scenario that we're staring down in the next couple of weeks.
What are you going to bring your talents to South Beach, Steve?
Yeah, I might bring my talents there. Absolutely. You know, that LeBron thing too. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the show. But that obviously was huge news over the summer. But I mean, is that any different than what the message we're sending out with the high school kids? Like that top, you know, Chris, that the top high school, or even that as well, the top high school, you know, athlete in your city. You know, when they announce where they're going to college, there's press conferences now, even on television, right? It's And we gave LeBron a lot of heat for that, and meanwhile we're putting 18-year-olds on TV to do the same thing, more or less.
Well, I think what LeBron did is he extended what's already going on, right? He took it to the next level. So, wow. I mean, I can't believe we haven't talked a lot about LeBron and the Heat before now, so I'm glad John reminded us of that opportunity.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about you know, sort of team dynamics, right? That was one of the topics we thought we'd kick around a little bit tonight. Matt Stalick, I'll throw it to you. You've been watching sports for a long time. You're recently watching sports at the very highest levels. You know, you're at the Super Bowl. You're at the Final Four. You know, let's talk about team dynamics, and this particularly sort of the care and feeding of the star player. You know, I mean, we know in sports the stars get different treatment, right? They get better treatment, quite frankly. They make way more money than the average player, right? In the normal organization, the people of sort of your high performers, they might make a little more money than your average performers, but they don't make 10 times more, which is what happens in sports, right? And Matt, I mean, do you think our organizations need to look a little bit more like sports teams, with the guys like LeBron and Dwayne Wade making the big jack and the rest of the team, you know, a bunch of role players playing at the league minimum?
Well, do we know who those star players are in our organization?
Good question.
That can we build the team around them, and do we do a good enough job in building those team dynamics? I'm not so sure we do. Just to go to the earlier point, press conferences with players have been going on since the mid-70s. I remember being in fourth grade. Magic Johnson was from my hometown, Lansing, Michigan. And he announced what he was going to do over the radio. We were literally sitting in class, huddled around a radio, waiting for his announcement of whether he would go to Michigan State or Michigan.
Wow.
So
wow.
Even with LeBron doing his thing, Magic Johnson did it many years before he was going, I'm going to go to the University of Michigan State.
Is that what he said?
Yes. And he was going to go. But back to the team dynamics again. Do we do a good enough job of identifying who our ABC players are and how we can construct it in such a way to make sure the A players' ego is fed, the B players can support them, and C players get their work done in whatever fashion they need to be doing? I'm not sure we do a good enough job of it as it is.
Yeah, Lance, your take on this? You know, sort of the care and feeding of the star player, the star performer in your organization? Can you figure out who they are? And if you can figure out who they are, do you treat them differently?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course you do. So you're always going to treat those guys differently. Now, is there going to be a pay gap? There's always going to be a pay gap, sure. Does it need to be as big as it is? Not necessarily. I think you're seeing a certain amount of that come down with the union and with the NBA owners as they're kind of showing down on this lockout scenario, much like the NFL, which has already been pretty well publicized. So, I mean, I think you see that issue coming up a lot whenever you're talking about the cost of labor and the cost of competing at a high level in the NBA. Is certainly, through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to do a quick announce. The great Brian Wempen has walked into the suite at the Homewood Suite.
Hey, Brian.
I don't... Say shout. Hey, Brian. All right. Hey, Brian. I don't have a speakerphone here to get him on board the show, but Brian has walked in, so congrats. Welcome to the Homewood, Brian. Make yourself comfortable in the spacious accommodations here in the suites. It is fantastic. So we have another call, Shauna. Let's take line number 7. Area code 703. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Who the hell are you people? It's me, Tracy Tran.
Tracy, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, long time no see. I just had a lot of people. I see the panel with all NBA fans, and I just want to next year, what are you going to do next year when there's going to be no NBA?
When there's no NBA? What are we going to do when there's no NBA? That's a good question.
Yeah, because of the CBA. Because it's likely that the owner's going to lock down. So what's going to happen when all of you are not going to enjoy NBA throughout the season next year?
Yeah, I'm going to spin that question a little bit differently. Because, of course, the answer is we're going to watch the WNBA. That's clearly the answer. But I'll spin it slightly differently, and maybe I'll throw this to Matt, right? We did the union show a little while back. We talked about all the stuff that's happening in Wisconsin. It is kind of interesting that, at least in the public sector, we know that union membership and union organizing is way, way down off its peak, and whenever the peak was, the 30s or 40s. But pretty much all the major sports leagues, right, at least in the United States, they all do, right? They're all organized. That labor is organized, and which is kind of interesting. Do you have any thoughts about why do you think that is? Why do we have organized bargaining for, millionaire athletes?
It's a good question. I'm not sure I have the answer.
Yeah, me either. That wasn't on the script. That wasn't on the pre-show
script.
Not
on the script.
Ooh, you're going off the notes.
It's not allowed.
I know. I'm going to say I don't know. I know people don't say that enough, so I'm going to cop out and say I don't know.
I don't know either. Chris,
well,
what?
Can I pause it?
Go ahead,
Lance. A suggestion is that I mean.
Lance, pretend we're on MSNBC and you're going to answer anyway, whether or not you know.
No, I don't know, but I'm just throwing out a suggestion in that a lot of it is the same reasoning that a lot of people think that, are confused about unions' roles right now, is that when the unions were initially formed, especially like in the NBA and the NFL, that sort of thing, there were significant issues. There were significant inequities between owners and players. And now, I mean, we see a lot of millionaire athletes, a lot of people that are doing very well because they play basketball, you know, quibble with billionaires over who are doing very well themselves, over, you know, a certain amount of, you know, percentage of the profit for the entire league. So I think probably like a lot of things, it started with a very, very good idea, very relevant idea, and it's slowly eroded.
Hey, Steve, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, what I think is interesting is that, like, if you want to compare, you know, today's, like, declining, like, you know, just penetration rate of unions in the workplace, and you want to compare that to pro sports, the thing that I've always found interesting is if you want to really, like, stop someone dead in their tracks who's pro-union, compare it to sports and say, what if, and you have to use like percentages. You'd say, what if we do a collective bargaining thing for your work group that cuts your overall pay for the first year by 5%, but we will guarantee you a certain percentage of the total revenue. You know, if you do that kind of profit sharing, there's just with the way unions are set up and the mentality, there's no one who will take that deal. Now, to Lance's point, it's all been wine and roses for the pro sports leagues because they've been on this amazing incline. And that's why it's kind of interesting to see the economics of a couple of the leagues kind of fall down a little bit during the recession, because then I think you start seeing all these pressure points where now all of a sudden, what is it, two out of the four major sports leagues are talking about locking out, right? You know, you've got the NFL who's already basically taken that approach, and you got the NBA coming up. And that's the thing. If you ever like went to, like, you know, in my area, CWA's big, Communication Workers of America, and said, hey, we'll do a deal, but help us increase the revenues, none of the unions, just because of the issues they've had to promote through the years, are prepared to take that stance. I think they could probably, I want to say that they could recruit and be a little more effective if they took that stance, but there's so many embedded issues that I don't think they'll ever be able to. But I think that comparison is the key one, because they're not willing to give up something in order to gain an even bigger percentage of the pie down the road, because they're really not confident in their ability to grow revenues. They just want their cut of dues.
Right. Yeah. And you know, on the sports side, right, the unions on the sports side get very little sympathy, typically, right? I mean, typically in these kinds of labor strife situations in the professional sports leagues, fans tend to come down on the side of the owners, irrationally probably in some cases, because they feel like, oh, you know, I'd do that job for nothing, or I'd do that job for a tenth of what LeBron is getting, right?
Right,
well,
right.
Right. Well, you probably wouldn't, though, right? If you were as good as LeBron, like, I don't think you would. You'd take the $15 million down to South Beach and hang out with Johnny Nick and his stable of model girlfriends. I mean, that's what you'd do.
Ex girlfriends.
I'm sorry. That's right.
Oh.
So, quick reset. HR happy hour. 8-man rotation. The whole gang is here. You're out there as well. 646-378-1086. We get about 15 or 18 more minutes to go in the show. On Twitter, HR Happy Hour is going on. We've had some complaints about mouth breathing on the line tonight, so if that's you out there, I don't know who it is, you know, hang out, sack it. Did you get your breath from that last run down the mountain or what?
He's screaming, Steve. He can't help it.
Yeah. Hey, I want to ask a question. I probably think, like me, most of the guys on the panel or on the call read that sort of influential book that came out a few years ago called Moneyball, right? So, and kind of the interesting thing about Moneyball was how it sort of described what was going on with one team, it was the Oakland A's, and how they at the time sort of attempted to compete in a marketplace where they were sort of outgunned in terms of resources, essentially payroll dollars. And they had to sort of look at the game a little bit differently and try to find ways to analyze performance in order to give themselves a competitive advantage against teams that were just better equipped to compete. So I just wonder if you think that's something that more sort of leaders and organizations can kind of learn from, just some of the lessons that came out of that book. So if there's anybody on the panel who's sort of a fan of that book, might want to chime in, please do.
Yeah, Steve, I will. You know, one of the things I think I took from it, you know, originally too, is teams or organizations do a bad job of growing their own talent. And that's one of the things that the A's did pretty well in terms of their farm system. They went out, drafted, grew their talent, let it come up through the organization, and then when it got to a point where they just couldn't afford it, they figured out a way to get rid of it for exchange for more young talent to continue to kind of increase, you know, that farm system and make sure they had this pipeline of talent coming in. And a lot of organizations try to figure out, how do we maintain this pipeline of talent within our organizations? And they focus so much on performance, top end, A players, and not so much on, you know, some really low-paid kind of people that they could bring into their organizations and help grow that potentially long-term could be much better performers long-term than the people they're going out and paying two, three, four times more to bring them in because they have the talent right now. And, you know, in HR, we're very reactive for the most part, and so we tend to do that kind of thing instead of saying, hey, I'm going to be here for the next 20 years. How do I make sure I make my life easy for 20 years by building a pipeline of talent? It's also really hard to sell your C-suite on to go out and say, hey, I want to spend, you know, X amount of dollars on someone that's not going to give us anything right now, because that's a hard sell, you know, at any time, even in good times.
Right.
But to
right.
me, that's what I got from Moneyball, you know, as well.
My take from Moneyball is really the search for asymmetric information. We
what do you mean by
win.
Matt? Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was about to say.
You need to tell us what you mean by that.
Obviously, teams like Oakland or Milwaukee or Kansas City can't compete based on dollars. So they have to find underappreciated assets that do certain things that we find valuable that other teams do not value. So what is that little piece of information that gives us the edge over the competitors?
Right.
In this case, they, you know, someone like Kevin Youkilis, the god of walks that he talks about in the book. They valued outs much more than other teams that we value not getting out more than others. So we're going to treat singles and home runs almost equally as walks. You're
right.
getting on base, you're not getting out. And so who are those players that other teams look at and say, oh, they're not very important, that we can suddenly capitalize on, take onto our team, and we're going to win by that certain approach? But by making it public, other people find out, and now Oakland hasn't been able to do as well. We've got to find that
well,
new
well, right.
stuff,
that's a great
information.
That's a great point, Matt. In fact, you know, we all sort of agreed to, and I thank you guys for doing this, to help promote the show this week. We all sort of really went out on a limb and wrote posts about sports in the last day or so. And so the one thing I spun out there today was about recruiting, and it was about the Carlos Boozer recruiting story that was on ESPN the other day, and how, you know, he was really impressed by this custom iPad that somebody on the Bulls, a team official, you know, delivered to his hotel room as before he went to the meeting. It was really cool. And then he went on to say in the article, every other team gave me the same iPad, but the one I got the first really impressed me because it was from the Bulls, and he eventually signed with the Bulls. I think probably the $80 million he got, too, in addition to the iPad, probably helped seal the deal. But the fact is, as Matt said, whatever you're doing, especially in sports, the other guys are going to see it and start copying you. So what do you do, right, if your rap is starting to get copied around – Tim, you know, if your pitch is getting copied, whatever it is you're offering, right? If your company's now, you know, put in the foosball table in the break room and everybody else does, where do you go next? How do you sort of keep ahead of the competition?
Is that me?
You could be you, Tim. You want to? Yeah, you could say I don't. I lose.
The other Tim.
I lose everybody to Chris Dunn, and that's it.
I just pay more money to the talent. No, I think, you know, everyone, that's a classic, you know, thing. I think it comes back down to culture and leadership and some of those things that you don't have to pay a lot of money for. I mean, you could argue that you have to pay a lot of money to have the right culture and keep it the right culture, but, you know, you don't. I think it starts with great leadership, and, you know, some organizations have it and some don't. And, I think, you know, people struggle with that all the time.
Right. So so maybe, like, the things you could, that other people could easily copy, then that's not really your selling point anyway. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, cool. I'm glad I figured that out from that answer. All right. That was good. Hey, HR Happy Hour, we're still hanging out. We got about 10 more minutes to go. We got the 8-man rotation in the house. Chris Dunn, Lance Hahn, Tim Sackett, Matt Stalick. Johnny Nick is with us, I think, still as well. Tracy Tran, I think, is still hanging out as well, suffering probably still with the Washington teams for yet another year.
Yeah.
I suppose he's not suffering anymore. Hockey isn't really that much of a sport, I don't think, but I know you're a fan.
Oh, come on. It's a real weird sport. It has a real playoff. For people out there, if you want to watch the real playoffs, watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on the NHL. Those are the real playoffs. Real determination.
Sean, I didn't mean to rile him up like that. Okay, okay, so Tracy's with us, so that's the point.
You should know better, Steve.
I know, that was my bad. So our calling number, 646-378-1086. There's a few more minutes. There's a lot of people hanging out on the line. If any of you guys who are sort of listening in on the phone want to get on board the show, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll get you on board as well. Twitter, HR Happy Hour as well, and I'm not sure what's going on there, Sean. I'm sort of homewood sweeting dodgy Wi-Fi, so I haven't really been...
It's fun, that's what it is.
I haven't really been checking, so I'm trusting you're keeping an eye on things going down.
Yeah, I know. I may be encouraging shenanigans.
Steve, real quick, are we going to have Matt kind of explain the eight-man rotation?
Yeah, Matt, go ahead. You know, that is in my show notes.
Wait,
we're going to get to that.
On.
So we've got the eight-man rotation, and there's that, it's actually not just a term, but there's also a little bit more behind it. So, Matt, why don't you maybe talk a little bit about what's going on with the eight-man rotation?
The eight-man rotation is an e-book. Sort of compiling all the sports writings of our panelists over the past 2 or so years. So given that we all have this interest in sports, it'd be fun to put it all together into one big document. So right now it's about 100 pages, 40 posts plus.
Wow.
With introductions, snarky introductions by Bill Cudick and Lori Rudiman.
Nice.
So hopefully it will be out there, ready to be downloaded prior to HR Evolution.
Awesome. Yeah.
And what I hope it will become is an annual edition every January where we highlight the best sports and HR writings of 2010 or 2011 and 2012 and so on. So we'll see if we can get this to become a regular occurrence and get more contributions.
Matt, that's really awesome. We have seen the draft of the ebook. Matt has spent a ton of time putting it together, and it's organized, you know, sort of in sort of thematic areas like management, leadership, recruiting, you know, and whatnot. It's really cool, and it's a funny thing. I don't know what the other guys, Lance or Chris, thought when I saw the ebook. I couldn't believe I'd written that many pieces about sports. I was almost ashamed.
I can easily believe that you've written a lot of pieces about sports.
I write so many posts about Jeff Van Gundy. I think he owes me like a present or something. You should call me.
What it also is for the NFL big draft summer league party, now we have sort of an entryway to get press passes. And
That's right.
Oh, nice.
We've got to put that together. We sure do. So we just got a few minutes left in the show. And the last sort of topic I sort of laid out for tonight, and Chris sort of touched on it at the beginning when, you know, he mentioned the recent statistic that's been making the rounds about the Stark 10 Cup and Sumser survey, the HR female stuff, and, you know, and I want my point. I'll read it to you, Sean. The section of this show is supposed to be called "The Shallow Emotional Development of Men and the Irrational Devotion to Watching Grown Men Play Games." So that's what this section of the show is titled.
That sounds like a dissertation topic.
Yeah, maybe so, Matt. Can I run that by you and, like, write a 5-page
paper
on that? I mean, do you find, like, do you feel like sometimes, and I got to say this, I feel like, are we wasting our lives just watching basketball games, watching sort of sweaty men chase a ball? Should we be doing something more important? I'll throw that out to anyone who might want to answer.
What are you going to do, cure cancer? Everyone's allowed to have a hobby.
Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big thing, and for people that don't know, me and Chris Dunn went to Las Vegas, and we did very little gambling. We did very little debauchery. We spent 16 hours in a gym in Las Vegas watching guys play basketball. So I feel uniquely qualified to talk to this. I don't think we're wasting our lives watching basketball any more than anybody else who is constantly updating TMZ or watching soap operas or watching movies or whatever, those sorts of things. It's all about how you intellectualize it and apply the lessons of basketball, however little they may be, to your work. And I think that's something that we could do as talent professionals.
Right, so it's an educational experience. So Chris, what do you think? I mean,
you're out there, Lance.
Coaching, you're playing, you know. Is it worth it, you know? Are you going to look back and say, boy, I watched way too many Suns-Blazer games at 10:30 at night on TNT?
Well, I got a little tear in my eye as Lance was going through what he said. Thank you, Lance. Thank
that
you so
fantastic.
Much. you know, some people, you know, give time to a homeless shelter. Some people teach children to read. We just happen to watch a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
I think,
like that,
I think we can apply life's lessons that way. Hey, one thing I want to say, I'm going to get you off topic a little bit, Steve. If you want to go like the money ball route, and you want to, like, you know, and Matthew did a really good job earlier of talking about things that we don't know regarding selection, because there's so much stuff that we don't do very well. It's hard to figure out, you know, what's undervalued. One thing you can figure out is who in your organization you spend money on and counter offer when the offer comes through. I'll give you a great sports example is you never, ever do the second contract on a running back in the NFL.
Right, never. Never.
Because it's the biggest commodity position. You know what the talent pool is, and you know they're going to be broken at some point in their second contract. And I think you can do that a little bit with talent pools in your own company to know that, hey, there may be a star in accounting, but guess what? You know, there may be a star in you know operations or customer service. But for the most part, I don't know if you counter, you know, a plus 25% offer. Probably doesn't make sense for you to do. I think a lot of people get roped into it. So I think that's one way you can play Moneyball a little bit. And plus, everything Lance said, I've still got a tear in my eye.
Yeah, that was quite moving. So this is going to be a quick one. We just got a couple minutes left in the show. I'm going to throw it around on the panel. Quick answer, sort of McLaughlin Group style. Okay, I'll throw it to you, Tim Sackett, first. Tim Sackett, favorite sports book of all time that you'd recommend?
Oh, geez. That's totally off the
not on the script again, I know. I'm killing you, Tim.
Yeah, Paper Lion, I don't know.
Paper Lion, all right. Matt Stolick, same question.
Bill James, Historical Abstract.
Right. Lance, how about you?
The Breaks of the Game, about Bill Walton leaving the Blazers and that magical 77 championship.
A Blazers
run.
Book. That's a shock. Good one, Lance. How about you, Chris? Sports book.
I'd have to go Life on the Run. That's Bradley's book, right? Bill
Bradley.
Yeah,
that was going to be probably mine, too. He also,
and
Life on the Run is my favorite.
Hey, so you take that one. I'll give you another one. The name escapes me. There was a CBA book that was done by George Karl and the team he was coaching, very much like Life on the Run. Which I thought was even better than Life on the Run. I can't recall the name of it, though.
George Karl, we'll have to check that one out because I'm not familiar with that one myself. So we will definitely check that out. Oh, man, 2 minutes left, guys. Real quick. Chris, you and me doing the Sonar 6 thing next week. That'll be fun, that webinar
Very
thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's called Please Shut Up. That's all you need to know.
Please shut up, which most people listening to the show are saying right now. So we'll see that next week. And Kinetics, kinetics.com, right?
Yeah, kinetics.hr.com. We had a little trouble with we had a little trouble with the domain there, Steve. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, sorry.
Aww.
what do you call that term, Chris? That what's the your company name? What's the term for the company name that isn't really what you do, but it's
synthetic.
It's
a synthetic name.
Synthetic. That's it. Synthetic. You got to explain.
We're keeping all of our options open, Steve.
All right. Well, good. Lance Hahn, ere.net, TLNIT.com, anything else? Rehall.com, anything else we need to know, Lance?
That's all you need to know.
You're everywhere. You're ubiquitous. You're like the Michael Jackson of the Internet. You're everywhere.
Wow, please do not put that on Twitter.
Right. Any final thoughts, Matt Stolick?
Taking the St. Norbert crew to the Illinois Sherm. Illinois Sherm holding the North Central Region HR case competition and then HR Evolution in 3 weeks.
All right. That's right. And Tim Sackett, what's up? TimSackett.com. I mean,
that's
my number one check in the morning.
The new blog, check it out. And also HRU-tech.com for all the professional stuff that Chris can't help you with.
Right. Awesome. Hey, Tim, thanks so much. Chris, Matt, Lance, thanks so much. Shauna, you can open up the lines for after show. Guys who've been with us for an hour, stay or go. It's up to you. I know you're busy. There's probably a big game on tonight. I just want to thank Acquire. This episode was sponsored by our friends at Acquire. We make Insight Workforce Planning and Analytics Solution that was named a 2010 top HR product by Human Resource Magazine. It's like having their own Heisman Trophy or Stanley Cup. And you better believe that they run a bunch of victory laps around the office when they get that news. So watch a video demo of Insight at acquireinc.com/rotation. I like how we got our own little URL there, a little rotation URL. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on the HR Happy Hour. We're going to do an HR Evolution preview next week, which is going to be really fun. And then after that, lots of goodness to come after that. So anyway, thanks so much, everybody, and good night. And thanks again from the HR Happy Hour. All right, good stuff, guys. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it, whoever's still hanging out with us.
Thanks, everyone.
It's fun. We should do sports. But we should do it every quarter, you know, the sports show.
You will do it more.
That'd be good.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like I'm going to alienate every last speck of the audience, and I don't care.
Is that a goal?
You did a pretty good job with your hockey comment, so.
I didn't mean, is Tracy still with us? I think he is. Tracy, I wasn't trying to bait you.
Sure. Hey, I was just saying, but we need to talk more about cricket. No, I'm kidding.
I don't, I tell you what though, Tracy, I'm just going to say this, I'm not trying to be a wuss. I don't like a sport where in the middle of sort of playing the game, you stop playing the game, and you just fight with each other. You just have a fight. And then it ends, and then you start playing the game again.
I think that's why a lot
again.
Of people actually like this.
No, I know. I get it. It's a weird thing.
And you do realize these are planned. It's like a wrestling, it's like a pool wrestling match where they plan this all along. They plan to fight.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird aspect. Hockey's kind of a unique sport. That's why I enjoy it. It's just fast paced of it.
Nah.
I understand why some people hate it, but hey, I enjoy it. So,
I got caught up in it back in the day, Tracy. I got caught up in it back in 94. That's that classic. And I think they did a 30 for 30 on this as well. The New York, the 1994 with the Rangers and the Knicks both trying to win championships at the same time, which was pretty, that was a pretty exciting time.
Yeah, I think that was probably the best hockey season. Frankly, it was the best hockey season the NHL ever had. And then after that, there was the lockout, and that kind of screwed everything up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super. Well, Tracy, appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I didn't mean to bait hockey. And we didn't even talk about the Fab Five. I wanted to get to that. We didn't get to it. So anyway, it was...
That was so polarizing.
That was a great documentary, though. I loved that show. I loved it.
I wouldn't even watch it. It's all fiction.
I don't know. Then Jalen goes all forthright on the documentary. And 2 weeks later, he's driving drunk and getting arrested, right? I mean, come on, Jalen.
No. Typical.
But I'm going to tell you what did Jalen say? Nobody remembers anybody on those teams who won, right? They remember the Fab Five who lost, which I thought was an interesting comment. So, well, cool, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Brian Wempen is still here with me, waiting patiently. So I'm gonna sign off. And, Hishana, if you're going to be hanging out for a while, could you are you busy? Could you pick up the archive link and tweet it out?
Oh, of course.
Right, because Brian and I have big plans. We have big Tulsa, Oklahoma plans. So we're
Wild
big
night on
time.
The town in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Square dancing.
You mentioned square dancing. So I'm at lunch today with a couple of the folks here in Tulsa. And the woman was talking about how her kid has been doing square dancing lessons in music class. Yeah so I thought that was funny. So anyway, hey, thanks.
Are you singing
everybody.
The song?
No, not at all. So let's. I'll play us out, Sean. Let me pick something from the archive, and we will get out of here, and we'll see you next week on the HR Happy Hour. So
night,
thanks
everyone.
Everybody. Great job. Love the show, and it was a lot of fun tonight. So good night from the HR Happy Hour.
See ya.
Night. Bye.